Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yo, I used to tap dance all around a nigga jaw. Do I split, but I ain't chic in the figure four. Two little niggas holding, going, sticking liquor stores. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, motherfucker, pick a door. We
come
gunning, don't grab it like J.O. Son. And we hold the cops, pull us over, we laugh and rip the summons. Cruise on boats, stuff our hundreds in a gold vase. Found right beside Tut, in between both legs. Coca Royal cigars while I'm buzzing off a dope play. Flying in a Swiss Alps, bulletproof North Face chefs that do jiu-jitsu.
Wu-Tang
ritual, bricks being broken on a scale, being
shipped to you.
Hairy chest,
BG music.
You can sniff it too, scattering fat nose Larry.
They can sniff Peru. Designer shit. Only the official. Good morning.
Ooh, good afternoon.
Good evening.
And I'm not that innocent.
Why do you keep, since you signed on here about 5 minutes ago, you keep repeating the Britney Spears, I'm not that innocent. What exactly?
Free Britney. Free Britney. There's a thing going on. It's called Free Britney.
Okay.
I DJed, I'm out here in Denver, Colorado. And there's a comedy festival going on called High Plains Festival. It's ran by this guy, Adam, Caton Holland, this woman, Karen, a couple people. It's just a big comedy scene out here in Denver. And I'm on the festival, and I DJed the after party last night.
Okay.
And put it this way, that was one of the biggest songs of the night.
You know
what type of people are out here.
That one of the biggest things was, I'm not that innocent.
Yeah, da, da, yeah, da, yeah, da, 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 da.
I'm out of baba, it's killing me.
Hey, Billy June just called me on my cell phone.
Okay, sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to make an announcement. Wednesday, tomorrow, if this drops on Tuesday, if you're listening to it the day it comes out, drops on Tuesday. Wednesday, we're making an announcement. I have a big show, a new comedy show coming up. It's a very special show. It's called Adulting.
Okay.
And it's me, Billy June, and this woman named Donna. Very funny, very organized person. But it's a dope show, and I'm going to want you guys to check it out. So I'm just warning you early. We're going to be announcing that tomorrow, per Billy June.
What do you mean it's you, Billy June, and Donna? You mean putting it together?
We're producing it. Yeah, we're producing it.
So it's not about it's not a show that's about you performing. Like, maybe you would perform, but it's a show you're producing.
Yeah, I'm also performing. I'm hosting it, probably. But it's I'm trying to create a comedy show that actually gets press, actually gets, it's Instagrammable. It's about, I want everything about it to be about getting posted and Instagrammed and all that
stuff. Oh God, that's going to be the whole theme of the show?
No, not the whole theme. It's just a show that I'm focusing on that part.
Why is this show going to be good for that?
We're doing it at the Stand. The Stand is a beautiful club. It's comedy, but then there's also going to be like some like we keep saying advice, but it's like comedy. You know, it's like Q&A. You can ask questions. There's some like Donna is really big into like tarot cards and all this stuff. Like, yeah, it's fun.
Okay, so that's
most Wednesday. Comedy shows say put your phones away. We're gonna say, hey, keep your phones out, record this, let's show it to the world.
I gotta tell you, I haven't gone to a comedy show in a while, but yeah. I am so done with put your phones away. I get it. I understand
the comedy, you have to.
I feel like it's not you're not adapting to what's going on in the world.
No, but you can't, because it's not like a song. Like, comedy has to be a surprise. You can't see it before you go see it.
But how many people are realistically...
It's like a magic trick. It's like a magic trick.
Yeah, but I just think it's very... How many... When some random yo-yo in the crowd is filming...
Yeah.
What's going to happen? If the joke is really funny, it's going to go viral and everyone's going to know the joke?
You're going to ruin it. Yeah, listen, this is not for me. It's for Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, that are working on $20 million Netflix specials. You think they want you fucking it up?
Can I tell you the truth?
A joke is worth $1 million in that scenario.
I think this is, you're not going to agree with me. It's okay. It's okay to disagree. I think even in that case, they're being incredibly self-important. Like, I don't think the joke's going to spread, even if it's a great joke. I think a random... who's going to see the clip that Jane Doe posts on her Instagram page?
Things have blown up like that.
But usually only if it's something super offensive. That's the main concern.
No, that's how it is now. That's also the concern, yes. That's also the concern.
But sometimes you're saying jokes blow up?
Yeah, Russell Peters' whole career started because, well, it's a little different, but like Russell Peters got a joke on like an Asian Facebook thing or something, and then that's how he blew up. And he's a worldwide superstar now. But also, there's another thing about paying attention to when your phone is out.
Agreed with that, for sure.
Because you point it and then you're tagging it or posting it right after you shoot it. So now you're not even paying attention to the show. Then everyone knows is once you post something, you scroll through 10 or 15 things on your timeline.
God, I hate it so much, Saif. This week.
Oh, it's crazy.
This week I had a moment. And also, by the way, shout out to all our Patreon people. We love all of you so much. And all of you non-Patreon people, one day we hope to see you on Patreon. But the Patreon people, beautiful people. Love you all. This week, for some reason, I don't know, nothing happened in particular. I didn't have like some bad experience. I didn't have some like, oh my God, I'm jealous. Oh my God, I'm angry. I didn't have anything like that. I just had one of those weeks where I was scrolling and I was like, what the fuck am I looking at?
Yeah.
What is this shit?
100%.
Like, listen, I don't use TikTok. It's not a good place for me to be. But when I open it, at least it's literally all tits. It's just like, it's like, this is what you want. We know you.
They know
me.
No, Saif.
And TikTok, more than any other place we've ever seen, you and I haven't discussed this. It's not just tits. It's gigantic tits. Like, we will give you the we know what you want. Here it is, boom.
But you know, some people don't get that.
Because they're not disgusting heathens. It knows...
It knows you specifically, so it knows Saif is not. Yeah, does Saif like a big ass now and again? Of course,
you know. No, it shows me that too. Exactly, it knows.
This guy is a is a breast man and show him lots of breasts.
No, no. So number one, do you want to know how TikTok is a horrible, I think, I'm not even kidding. I think TikTok is a horrible medium. I do not in terms of the content. I'm sure there's great content that is, although I don't really see it, I'm sure it exists. But what I'm saying in terms of the way it fucks with your brain and how it's being done, it's maybe the most blatantly evil one we've ever seen. Yeah. Like, yo, you know what TikTok thinks of me? And by the way, I need to own this. This is a real reflection of myself. These days, if I go on, I went on a couple times last week. Then I won't look at it for a few weeks. Then I'll go back on, look at it. Tits and then an occasional fight. Could you be a more basic savage? Could you be? I am a piece of garbage.
Like I started using it because you can grow a lot faster, blah, blah, blah. A lot of comedian friends of mine are now on tour headlining because they started catering to their TikTok. Right. Now, I got it to learn how to use it so I can start posting my crowd work and my stand up. And it literally hooked me. And here's the thing about TikTok. Like, you look at Instagram, right? I've been studying this. You look at Instagram, you got your post, you got a picture or a video that catches your attention, whatever it is. And then you start scrolling, and then there's a white section where the writing is, whatever the person posted.
TikTok gets rid of that.
The hashtags, the comment. So your brain gets a half a second of a break. And that white section might snap you out of it and you might turn off the app. TikTok has no white space. Full screen video. Mm. You start scrolling and you're already seeing the next video when you're halfway scrolled past. There's no break. There's no like little rest stop. You know what I mean? Like, it goes forever and ever and ever.
And then on top of that, it knows you. So it's feeding you things. Yo, it's an evil.
Because it's app. It's not about following, right?
I don't follow anyone.
I follow some people, but I barely ever go on the following screen. I'm following people to support them, right? So Instagram shows you everyone you follow, where TikTok is.
No, no, they're telling you what they want you to see.
Bro, and then they know, like, one girl puts up, there's like you see breasts, titties. For some reason, bad dates is something that my algorithm says I love. And I want to say, no, I don't, but I watch every story about a girl's like, oh my God, I went on a first date last night and this guy, you know, like, he was talking to me so much on the app, but when we got in person, he didn't say a word, you know? And it's like, why am I watching this? And then it'll be some girl doing one of those trends where it's bouncing her titties, and then it'll be this white. Have you seen this white girl that like remakes hip hop beats? Oh, I sent you. Remember, I sent you the clip.
Yeah, you sent us the Wu-Tang one.
This little white girl has like a little tiny keyboard. What's the company that makes MPCs?
Akai.
She has this little tiny Akai keyboard, and she'll start. She has the drums to New York State of Mind. And then she has the sample where the drums come from in the sticker, and then it loops again, and she's dropping the sound effect, beep 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 beep, sample from Donald Byrd, da 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 da, and it's like doom 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 doom, sample from Joe Chambers, and she remakes the beat, and I'm like, this shit is fire.
I mean, it's. Yeah, it's a really easy, appealing way to watch a video. It's like you're just seeing a beat that you already know replayed on a keyboard.
Like, replayed very well, because I don't like when people can just play the notes. Like, it's...
Yeah, no, it's replayed well. I saw it, yeah. This, I recommend... Let me just tell you, anyone listening right now, and I'm guessing with the age range of people who listen to One App, a lot of y'all have never been on TikTok. You're among the people who have... Just don't. It's just not worth it. Like, it's not a place to be.
Oh, what are you saying?
And don't
follow me. Follow me on TikTok. What are you talking about?
And don't. And if you have daughters, if you have teenage daughters,
there's no way to stop them.
Fine.
We've lost. we've lost. Parenting is done. It's completely different. There's no way you can stop them. You think you could block it on their phone? They're gonna look on
their
friends' phone.
Are your kids obsessed with screens also?
Yes, bro. Screens. I hate it, but also
you're on it too. So what can you even say?
My son is wilding. He's screaming, crying, or won't eat, or whatever. And it's like, yo, I'll let you watch your iPad if you shut the fuck up.
And it works.
Does it? I don't need a babysitter. I can leave them for them by themselves for 3 hours and be fine.
Yo, it's and you're right. Crazy. It's an uphill battle. You really can't win. It's just about like, I guess it's about each kid's going to be different about what they get into. I will say this though, on the flip side of the coin, and I'm not, I really do not think I'm saying this out of ignorance. I'm saying it based on like real information as the uncle that I have dug around and kind of like gathered. My niece and nephew who are 13, who are on all the social platforms, yo, they're also way more innocent than I was at 13. It's very weird.
Mm.
They're not like...
Why? Because they're not outside?
I wonder if it's because even though they're all on social... And remember, their algorithm's not going to be as crazy on those things as ours are.
I guess. I'd hope.
Yeah, their algorithm.
Yeah, everybody thinks TikTok is like a bunch of kids dancing. I never see that on my TikTok.
Right, exactly. But that's what they see probably. Hopefully.
Right.
Listen, if you trust the Chinese hackers who are making TikTok's Chinese, right?
Yeah.
If you're trusting whoever the lunatics in charge at TikTok are to send appropriate information to children. But I'll just tell you, my niece and nephew, the way that they talk about the opposite sex, the way they talk about drugs and alcohol, they're like, I'm like, y'all aren't seeing what I was seeing at 13.
Yeah, right?
At 13, it was already loose out here.
Because we think, oh, the kids have all the porn on their phone, but like, do they
maybe
know
we're the only ones. Maybe we're the only ones that's the only purpose we have for our phone, yeah. Because we spent our early years being so repressed, so desperate to find a Playboy, that now that there's a phone, we just consider this a porno box.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And then like, you know what's funny? Here's another thing. My TikTok was in the beginning mostly white, right? Mostly like a lot of white shit coming through. Mm-hmm. Then I signed up then I started using my reels on Instagram. And my Instagram is all black and Latino.
Hmm.
And it's because I already had established following on Instagram, which is more urban, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And like from my radio days and my hip hop days. And so now on Instagram, I'm like, hey, this radio personality and DJ that I liked is doing comedy, guys. It's doing comedy now. Did you guys know Cypher Sounds does comedy? And like, but then... So all these people comment, like, view my shit. So then when I go on Reels, it's all black.
Mm.
It's all black. And then on my TikTok, it's all white. So this is going to sound horrible, but I've been trying to keep my TikTok white on some, like, research experiment of, like, these two different worlds and which ones will fans pop from and all this shit. But now I'm noticing my TikTok is getting bigger. Every day it grows a couple of hundred, maybe 1,000.
Are you growing? You hot like that out here?
It starts. I started the weekend with 15,000. Today I just look at 16.6.
It's live TV.
Oh, hold on. I just opened TikTok. Oh, there's an ad already.
The ad is always first.
Oh, wait, there's... A woman with large breasts coughing. Two women. An ad. A woman with very large breasts, okay, in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Another woman who's a bad dancer but has large breasts. Oh, this woman.
You know what's up with those women, right?
Hmm.
They're not that innocent.
All right. How would I find? Let me type in Cypher Sounds. See what yours looks like.
Mine looks...
Pause. I do have a couple of hip-hop things I want to talk about today, by the way. Oh, I'm already following you.
Oh, well,
I wouldn't know because you never pop up on anything.
Nah, I'm not what you want. It knows... thank you for the support, but I'm not what you want.
Here we go.
Also, look, if you're not on TikTok...
Are you scared of us or are you protecting us?
No, that one sucks. That one sucks.
Yeah, but you know the Delta strain.
If you or a family member grew up in Bushwick
Tiana.
And you're Puerto Rican and you didn't pronounce
hold on.
This,
I'll show you which one
Graham
to go to.
Graham Avenue, then you're not really Puerto Rican or from Bushwick. Sorry.
A lot of scary situations happening in that neighborhood.
Go to the dad bods are the okay. best okay. in bed.
What y'all talking about?
When you're chubby, every chubby guy has to pretend they want to switch positions at one point during sex, but it's really just to catch their breath.
Yeah.
We should switch on the other side. You know, I like it this way.
Sometimes in the middle of sex, I got to put my CPAP machine on. It's fucked up, man. I got to fucking get oxygen. Yeah.
Who are you on stage with there?
That's Will Sylvans and Renan Hirschberg. Renan Hirschberg.
You don't want to be with me.
I want to get out of here. Hold on. I just want to leave. There was already more tits being thrown at me. I just want to leave. Oh, Lord.
Wait, take one more before you go. Take one more.
I'm gone already. I'm already gone.
But TikTok is what you make it, bro. You could get TikTok if you don't have it. You could get TikTok, and if you like rap battles, you search rap battles a couple times, and you'll just see all the rap battles. Or I like life hacks. I like turning a paper bag into a fucking carnation. That'll pop up,
no,
too.
I need that. That is important, actually. You're right. Sife, did you watch – speaking of battles, did you watch –
Wait a minute.
What?
Anyway, follow me, please. I got a lot of dates coming up in October. Appreciate all the WANAP fans I'm running into on the road. I'll see you soon. Oh, and shout out to the guy Camacho that owns that video, the transfer server where you can send him tapes and he'll digitize your video.
The guy who wanted to
spoke to him,
help you with your porno tapes.
A lot. Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot for your help, WANAPer. Now go ahead. What's going on in hip hop?
Did you watch Fat Joe Ja Rule?
I didn't watch the whole thing, no.
You watched any highlights?
Yeah. I saw some of it live. Matter of fact, when I turned it on,
mm-hmm.
I was at the comedy club, and when I turned it on, I was in Houston with Mo Ammer. He just shot his Netflix special. Shout out to Mo Ammer. Right when I turned it on, he started doing Big L, The Enemy, which is the only song I wanted to see if he was going to do.
And he did it. And then Ja Rule was like, what is that shit?
Yeah, I respect that. Fucking ignorant piece of shit.
No one even knows what that shit is. Everyone is saying the internet decided that Ja Rule won the battle.
Really?
The internet decided that. And I went back the next day and reviewed it on the radio. And when we went through it, we did have it at 10 all because Fat Joe made some mistakes, in my opinion. He just he took some rounds for granted. And he still could have started the way he did, which was he started very strong. If you didn't watch and you're curious, the way Fat Joe started, to me, started with this.
He started with that. I would have started with that.
The fat gangster. Didn't play much of it. And then he went like this.
That's what I would have started with.
He played it second. I have a strong feeling on this song, Sife.
Why?
Beats crazy. This is originally a Flex record, right?
No, I think Flex had the remix.
Oh, got it. The remix was Flex.
Flex had the remix with Jadakiss on his album.
Okay. So, love the beat. I love how it starts out. Y'all wanna live my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But then for whatever reason, because the singing follows the beat the way it does, it really turns like operatic. It sounds a lot like a musical. Y'all wanna live my lifestyle. You've never done this. You've never sung a crack vial. And if you want, you can be Serato. And Ross says, let's all battle.
That's late night studio. Oh, this sounds dope. You know what I mean? Studio's a weird place, man.
No one. Muchos grande. It's like, do you say that when you see a fat ass?
You know, always. But now that I think about it, I wouldn't have started with that.
Never seen a brick, never seen a crack house. Yeah, once it goes to the second part of following the beat for the lyrics, it starts to turn into a musical. And that's whenever rap records do it, I'm always like, nah, you can't just keep following it like that.
I know one major issue I'm having now, thinking back, and this probably could only be seen in retrospect, is they did it too close to the Lox Dipset.
That's tough. There's
like,
no doubt.
Right after Lox, like Swiss Beatz and Timbaland. I mean, this is all an organic, alive. We've watched Versus literally start from zero to become this powerful entity now. And it's like, we're literally, there's not a lot of things you get to actually see from the ground level, mm-hmm. from scratch, turn into something like this. But now thinking back, I think I would have cleansed the palate with an R&B one or, you know what I'm saying? Something different, like an older one, because I don't know if they wanted to recreate that night. And on paper, yes, it's good. Fat Joe, Ja Rule. And I know, you know, we know more inside than normal. Like Fat Joe and Ja Rule and Noriega, they all been tight friends for a long time. You know what I mean? Like Noriega did my improv show once and Ja Rule just pulled up because Nori was there. Like they're tight.
Can we talk for a second about...
What is this?
The cover art for Fat Joe's Jealous One Still Envy.
Sure.
Can you? You're not gonna be able to see it on my thing. Can you please Google Fat Joe Jealous One Still Envy?
Okay, you know that's Jose.
Yep. How was this decided on? There was something going on in this era.
There's 2000 fashion, bro.
Yo,
what
is that?
Back and look, it's.
But safe, but that
it's
cover,
not good. It didn't. What's it? What do they say?
It didn't age well.
It didn't age well.
Yo, but that, how did they settle on that picture? And they're like, yep, that's it. We got it. Keep it moving. It looks like it was shot like at a carnival, like in the little photo booth. It's insane.
He was making a lot of money then. He probably wasn't really paying attention.
He was too busy. He was finally getting like money.
Yeah.
So and there was horrible. That's horrible. There was good stuff. You know, and in the end, you know what? I discovered one thing. This is the most important thing I realized from the Ja Rule Fat Joe battle. And people call this hating. I call it the truth. I'm not mad at the Ja Rule records. Yeah, Ja's music was never meant for me, of course. It's fine. I have the ones I appreciate and ones I don't. And the ones that I'm like, oh, yeah, chicks love this. There's no denying that. It's a winner. Ladies love it, no doubt. But here's the one thing I discovered.
Yeah.
For all the Ja Rule Ashanti records that exist and are huge, Fat Joe's one Ashanti record is actually bigger than all the Ja Rule Ashanti records.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that the one I saw the clip where Ja Rule's arguing? But I wrote it.
Yes. And that's fine.
Yes.
But still,
he was basically claiming it as his as well.
Right. But this one here.
The fucking mic on. Mic is on.
When you hear it live, even though it's so cheesy too.
Yeah, there's something about the notes, the chord progression, whatever it is. It's appealing to the ear.
It's appealing to the ear. Like, by the way, and this is the version that actually has Ja Rule on it. They had that on the internet. Because it was...
What? It always has Ja Rule.
Nah.
Yes.
Nah. Look, here's the other version. Maybe this is... Or just the clean version.
Always had Ja Rule's voice. You might not have realized.
Nah, it switched. They took him off of it, and it became Armageddon. Yes.
Wait, what? Armageddon?
Yep. Let's hear. Yep. That's not Ja Rule.
Wow.
Listen again.
I never noticed that.
My favorite thing about the whole thing is that in the ad-libs, Fat Joe calls her Ashante. I swear to God, that's not her name. Listen, just Joe cracked the dawn. Ashante. Yeah, that's so incredible to me. So
I never realized that they took Ja Rule off of that.
Yeah, I've been having a real
tough crazy
when it comes to random shit changing.
That's Mandela effect.
I don't think that's what that means, but
that's Mandela.
One of the things I've really been struggling with. By the way, when Fat Joe hit this, I definitely was happy. I realized on my next project, I want to make one of these. I want to make one of these.
I didn't like when they hit it, and then Ja Rule went into his fake acting of being surprised.
Oh. Wait, is that what he did? He acted at the
yes. He's like, oh, whoa. Shut the fuck up, man.
All right, here's what bothers me, though. Listen. Yeah. I'm here to make a dollar out of 15 cents and let my balls hang like I'm on the toilet taking a shit. My style's all that with a big bag of chips with the dip. Fuck all that sinuous shit. I don't know what that means. This is an intellectual violence and leave your clique holier than the Ten Commandments. Like Red Man, I'll ship with the ruck. If my imp was a spliff, we'd be all fucked up. Okay, so it's there. So that was there. There's a version of this song, and I heard an old Flex mix where Flex was playing it. It doesn't have that line. Like Red Man, I shift with the rut. It jumps from that part to... Here you go. It jumps to that. Instead of like Red Man, I shift with the ruck, it goes to my... And jumps... I don't know why it did that.
Wow. What's the next line after Red? Maybe they wanted to cut something out.
I guess they just wanted to shorten it for some reason for the radio, maybe?
Maybe.
Is Keith's verse longer than other people's?
I don't remember.
Is it?
Uh-oh. It's not that innocent?
It's not that innocent. Is it bad to point out? I'm not saying is it bad to say because there's no argument.
Okay.
It's because Yom Kippur just passed. And I atoned for as many of my sins as I could. Mm-hmm. Is it a sin to point out that LL Cool J is responsible for two of the best posse cuts of all time and has by far the worst parts of both songs?
What is the second posse cut that you're referring to? Ah. You think he has the worst verses of on both?
I mean, listen.
You don't give LL, like, they're both LL verses. You know what I mean?
But listen, this has Keith Murray, one of Keith Murray's strongest appearances. So hard.
Would you say this is the Nicki Minaj moment for Keith Murray?
By the way, we do have to talk about Nicki Minaj today. Have you started working on your comedy yet about the Nicki Minaj story?
No. I'll do current events.
I feel like there's a good bit there, especially with you and your audience. And you know who.
That's a great line.
Which line?
Blow the spot like Branford Marcellus.
Yeah, why is that a dope? Why is that? It is dope. It is a dope line. It sounds. And then this. Y'all commercial niggas better have a coke and a smile. I shot you. I'm safe with many men. It's time to begin again. Forgot what I already knew. Yo, this is one of the first times I ever heard. Maybe the first time, Syph, I ever heard a Prodigy feature. It was right. The first time Prodigy was separated as like, oh no, you're the rapper. You're the rapper of the crew. You know what I'm saying? His name hadn't popped up on records yet.
Right, right, right.
And he sounds as hard as ever.
You get back slapped so hard, make your nose bleed. Kids feeling guilty about to... You would hate me if I told you I don't love this record.
No, I get it, because the beat, I know why. I know why this beat wouldn't appeal to you. Not only is it inside the songs that we sing, everything is real, not just a song that we sing. From my life to the paper, I get it. But Joe? Prodigy? Joe comes on screaming at you. Listen. Like you got in trouble. That's how Fat Joe starts.
Now who the fuck you think you're talking to? I pay dues, I spray crews. Look up Joey Crack. Motherfuckers be like, is that news? Running this racket from New York to Montego, slaughtering people.
So he goes, you know, Joe does his Joe thing. You know, Foxy Brown starts out with her Asian slurs that she repeatedly used on records. The only artist ever. By the way, Foxy is Asian also, right?
I don't know.
She's not?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm looking for a pass.
Nah, she just had what, quote unquote, chinky eyes.
That's not enough. That is not. No. Inga DiCarlo Fung Marchand.
Oh.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on now.
I guarantee the Asian is through the West Indian side.
Marchand is of Dugla. She is.
I don't know. You just said words.
Afro-Trinidadian, Indo-Trinidadian, and Chinese Trinidadian descent.
Told you.
So it's not illegitimate. She had a C word pass, apparently.
So slur on. Slur on, Foxy Brown.
I guess that by the way, that had to factor in. I have never before or since heard a rapper use that slur. And she used it at least.
It wasn't a slur back then, though.
Oh, no. The way she used it, she wasn't saying it with just a Y on it.
Oh.
On this song, she says, thug N-words give their something to C-words. No Y. I have to imagine that's why she was using it. Although I've never heard anyone else use it since. Very loose. All right, here we go. But anyways, Foxy sounds good on the record. And then you tell me what you think. Maybe I'm wrong.
What the fuck? I thought I conquered the world. Crush Modi, Hammer, and Ice-T's girls. But still, niggas wanna instigate shit. I battle any nigga in the rap game quick. Name the spot. I make it hot for your bitches. Female rappers too. I don't give a fuck, boo. Words. I'm here to crush all my peers. Rhymes of the month. Been the source for 20 years. Niggas scared. I'm detrimental to your mental state. I use my presidential Rolex to be debate. Niggas fight. Cocks and temple gets fucked MCs. That fuck with LL, they gets bucked. That's real. What's up with that? I shot your deal. Like shit, niggas slip. Now how the bullet feel? New York appeal. In LA, they gang bang. But if you touch a mic, your motherfucking ass hang. That's facts. Niggas don't receive no type of slack. Cause if they do, their ass is always running back. Not this time, but next time. I'ma name names. LL. Shitting from on top of the game. I shot ya.
I don't mind it. It's not terrible. No, you're right. It's not terrible.
It's an LL verse.
You know what it is? It's almost like he uses a different mic and sounds more polished. You know what I'm saying? Like he comes in almost sounding too polished for the record for me.
Okay. I see what you're saying there.
He doesn't sound the same. They all sound like they were doing this gritty B-side shit. And then when he gets on, it sounds very. But is that just my association with LL? Maybe that's just I think of him as being too pretty and clean. And when he likes to do those hardcore records, because he always was like, yo, let's make some hardcore shit. It was like I didn't believe it.
Which is great.
Which is great.
A mainstream guy who says, get the gritty guys in here. Get the underground guys. He always gives back in a way. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Phenomenal.
It could be, this would be my educated assumption, is that he's in a studio. He has his engineers. It's his sessions. And he has a certain mic setting that he likes. It's the LL mic setting. It's been programmed. When LL gets on the mic, hit these three buttons, and all the equipment goes to
LL LL's zone. Yes.
The LL voice settings. Now, some forward thinking by an engineer and an A&R would be like, hey, maybe don't use the clean LL mic setting for this song.
Yeah, because you're going to sound too clean.
Because everyone else did their raps. Everyone else did their bars. And then when LL goes in the booth, the engineer just muscle memory goes to the LL setting. So he goes, oh, LL's on. Beep, 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 beep. Like, I remember I used to work in a studio called, it was the studio from Long Island, but then they had one in the city. I used to love that studio. Anyway, I forgot. But it was Redman and Eric Sermon's studio. And on one of the machines, there was a setting called what was Redman's name? Dr. Funkenstein or Dr. Funk or something. He used to have that voice like, this is Dr.
This is Dr. Funkenstein. Maybe Funkenstein.
Yeah. No, because Funkenstein is like Parliament.
Redman, let me look it up.
Whatever. Anyway, Redman had that setting, and I was like, oh, is this the Redman? And he goes, yeah, every time Redman does that voice, we just have to push one button, and it pops up. This is Dr. Funkenstein.
Well, sorry, what was that?
Cookie.
You know what I never understood? Dr. Funkenstein. It is Dr. Funkenstein.
It is Dr. Funkenstein? Oh, okay.
I think so. Here's a question, though. What does the name Funk Dr. Spot mean?
Is like, it Spot?
Yeah.
Or Spock?
No, it's Spot.
Spot. S-P-O-T.
Yeah.
See, I always thought it was Funk Dr. Spock.
Me too.
Dr. Spock was... Unless he thinks Spock's name is Spot.
No, but I don't think he's saying Funk Doctor. No, I think it's something else, and that's what I don't understand.
Okay, look it up.
Although on Wikipedia, it says his names are Doc, Reggie, Funk Doc, and Funk Doctor Spock. But I thought he always says Funk Doctor Spot. Yeah, I don't think he says. I thought he said Funk Doctor Spot.
Well, that's something we're going to have to ask him.
So then here, let's hear if the mic setting thing is also true on this one, because I believe it is. Oh, and a theory as to why it might have bought, like at the time, his verses never hit, because I Shot Ya is on the B side of what song now? No. It's on the B side of Doing It. But the first single off that album was this. Although, I'm not going to lie, I do like this song.
A very good song. What are you talking about?
But it's... Yeah. It was Harlem at the Ruckers. Yeah. I saw you with your man. Smiling. And see, the mic setting is just right for this. With my hat turned back. We caught eyes for a moment. Just so you know, though, this is the most hating... This is the most outside dude hating on another man's song of all time. The level of hating that this man is doing. Driving around Harlem. LL. Driving around Harlem in his $100,000 car. Just listen. Let's listen. Hold on. Skated off as she strolled off. Looking at them legs. Goddamn, they look so soft. All right, so he sees the girl now. I gotta take you from your man. That's my mission. If what? Love has really got to handle competition. What? What?
You dirty dog.
You fucking LL, you dirty dog. Yo, if his love is real, he got to handle competition. What part of the fucking game is that? Now, I don't know that he's wrong. Don't know that he's wrong, because if you're on your shit, you should be good if you're holding it down.
Why is LL the one to test? Why is he prowling around Harlem where guys can't compete on his level?
What?
That guy's an electrician, man. Leave him alone. Here we go. He got him a nice girl.
He keeps going. Hold on. Only knew him 5 months. That's right. Besides, he drink too much and smoke too many blunts. Yo, hold on. You only known him 5 months. Okay, they're new.
How do you know this?
Hey, first of all, why do you know so much about their relationship? Okay, you've only known him 5 months. All right, they may be related to each other.
Todd, Hi, this is Gary, your business manager. What is this $28,000 on private detective?
Yo, man. Yo, Gary, man, chill out. I had to find out what was going on with my lady. Is it your lady? No, but she's going to be. As soon as I get this whack-ass, clown-ass, blunt-smoking, beer-guzzling motherfucker out of the way.
Oh, does he smoke blunts, Todd?
Entirely too many. Blunts. Yeah, too many blunts. It makes me sick how many blunts he smokes. I can't have this blunt-smoking motherfucker with this fine-ass, beautiful-legged woman walking around the streets of Harlem like this. Why were you in Harlem? Don't you live in Queens or New Jersey? I go up there to just prowl on bitches. Let's see where this goes.
Working out every day, thinking about you.
Working out every day.
My own eyes in the rear view.
Yo, you realize the level of creep? LL says, looking at my own eyes in the rear view? Yo, if you saw this man driving through Harlem in a $100,000 car, head up like this. Looking at himself. Looking at himself in the rear view.
Aspects of an eye contact. Wish I could lay you on your stomach and caress your back. I would hold you in my arms and ease your fears. I can't believe it. I ain't had a crush in years. Hey, love.
See there, it makes a little more sense there. I can't believe it. I ain't had a crush in years. So maybe it's been so long that he's just going entirely too far. Maybe that's the problem. He's so used
to the last couple years, though.
He's just had girlfriends and they all wanted him. And it's been a long time. And so now he's gotten rich. Let's see where it goes.
I see you at the bus stop waiting every day. Your man must think it's safe for you to
every day.
That way.
Every day? Now it's every day. You're stalking, LL. You are a stalker.
I see you at the bus stop waiting every day. So number one, you're stalking her every day. And number two, the line after. Your man must think it's safe for you to travel that way. Yo, my man, maybe she's a regular girl. She's comfortable jumping on the bus. It's not a big deal.
How would a girl feel if a guy comes up to her and be like, hey, you, does your man think it's safe for you to travel every day?
I guess not. I guess not anymore. Well, he did until a creep came up and told me it was dangerous for me to be on the bus. Yeah, you know why the bus isn't safe, LL? Because of you. You're the reason she's not safe on the bus.
What a creep.
I violate your relationship, so I lay back in the cut with a crush. That's a trip.
Wait, you don't want to violate the relationship? Bad news. Too late, LL. You're driving by the bus stop every single day?
No, he didn't violate yet.
Okay, you're
he
right.
He didn't violate.
You're right. He's just creeping. He's creeping.
He's just talking. Yeah.
He can't stop me from having daydreams.
True.
Tonguing you down with vanilla ice cream. Kissing on your thighs under moonlight. Searching your body with my tongue, girl, all night. I wonder one day could it be simple dreams could turn into reality. Our love would come down so naturally.
Yo, now he's planning a whole life.
Aisle of destiny. Put your man, get his hustle on, got your type scared. Break you off a little chump change to do your hair. That seems to be enough to satisfy you.
Wow.
Needs, but there's a deeper
wow. If you break you off some chump change to do your hair? My man is working hard, regular job.
Oh, no, he says hustling, though.
Oh, he's hustling. He's a hustler.
I think
so he villainizes him. He makes him a bad guy. He's making bad illegal money. And just he has plenty, but he just gives you enough to do your hair.
Yeah. Yeah, he's keeping you trapped.
Last week I saw you at the mall.
Oh, what a coincidence. You saw her at the mall? I have a question.
Hi, excuse me. I'm sorry. Could I stay in here for a few minutes? Why? What's wrong, ma'am? This guy that always watches me at the bus stop is following me in the mall. Also, what mall? There's no mall in Harlem. Did she take the bus to Jersey?
Wait, I saw it was Harlem at the Rucker. I saw you with your man. Well, maybe she lives in Queens. She just was at the Rucker. So this could be many. This could be set one of several malls in Queens.
To make a call, I had a vision. It was me on the other end.
Wow.
Telling you come by, and then you walked in.
I touched you gently with my hands. We talked about traveling the distant lands.
I want everyone to know, by the way, this is not a real conversation. He is still making this up in his head like a psychopath.
All a dream, yeah.
The madness out here in the world, becoming my wife.
Oh, she's your wife now.
Then you let your dress fall down to the floor. I kissed you softly and you yearned for more. Experience pleasure unparalleled. Into an ocean of love we both fell. Swimming in the timeless currents of pure bliss.
Wow.
Fantasies interchanging with each kiss. Undying passion unites our souls. Together we swim until the point of no control. But it's a fantasy, you won't come true. We never even spoke in your man's way of you.
So yo, when you when you swim with no control, you're fucking drowning. Are you drowning this chick in the ocean?
If you were
you're swimming with no control means you're flaring.
Flailing out of control. And he's sitting there watching you with his, by the way, he's wearing goggles with the scuba gear. He can breathe. And he's just watching you flail around, smiling like, ha ha ha. That's what you get for leaving me.
He's watching a flare, but he has a waterproof note. It says, do you like him or do you like me?
Exactly. Answer. She's like, I can't breathe.
All these feelings aside.
That's right.
Keep my dreams alive until the right time.
Yo, I just keep picturing the lyrics are happening and Boys to Men are like, they're looking at each other like, yo, what part of the game is that? Did he just say... This is more than a crush. So I think that might have, maybe that shaped some of my feelings, and which is the same reason why I probably wasn't, you know, I didn't love his part on 4-3-2-1, because the first single off 4-3-2-1 was...
Oh, that was the first one?
Yo,
year is this?
98, 97.
Son, that song sees. Okay, I don't want to fuck this up, but Lil C's, you know, I used to DJ for Lil' Kim, right?
You did?
I did back in the late 90s. I used to DJ for Lil' Kim in the late 1900s.
Okay.
And C's got a hold of that song. I think LL might have wanted Biggie on that song. So they had a tape of it, and they used to make fun of that shit all the time. He said that when they went to the studio and LL played it for them, he was like doing like a dance to it, and C's always used to do this dance.
No, no, are you?
Be like, yo, I'm like a phenomenon.
Oh, you know what's funny though? Biggie actually could have done that in the way that he did, like, I go on and on and on, and like that version of Biggie.
I don't like that beat, but I could see how at that time you would think that would be in that Biggie world. But I don't think, obviously Biggie didn't do it, but.
LL has a little bit of the Eminem, which makes sense actually, because Eminem idolizes LL in many ways.
What does he have?
A little bit of the Eminem first single just is not it thing.
Mm.
Eminem's first singles always used to kill me. I would just be like, all right, I'll just ignore it and wait for the next one because this is not
I went to a studio session once with Jay Brown when he was A&R of Def Jam, when Jay-Z was president. And they were like, yo, Syfe, we need you to come to the studio and we need you to lay these scratches down on this LL record. And I was like, oh, shit, that's crazy. And I'm not one of those good record chorus scratchers, but whatever.
You'll make it work.
I'm going. So I go in there, and this is when I really like learned a lot about the industry. I go in there with my records. They set up the whole turntable shit. I think it was like the first version of the CDJ because I was scratching something that wasn't
on vinyl.
On vinyl. So we had to like burn it to a CD, and then I put it in the CDJ and I was scratching it. And then LL comes in. LL's like, oh, that's fire. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fire. That's fire. Then he was like, yo, Syfe, thank you so much, man. I appreciate that, man. I always fuck with you, man. I love you on the radio. You doing your thing. Keep doing your thing, play. Oh, you work for Jay, right? Okay, yo, keep doing your thing, man. I love you. this is like, now it's like 3 a.m. He leaves. And I go to Jay Brown, like, yo, what, how does this work? Do I like, is there like some paperwork or like, do I have to clear anything? And he goes, oh no. He goes, that song's never making the album. He goes, I just had to get you in here to appease LL for some shit. I was like, motherfucker, yo. Wait. You've been in here like 7 hours and you wasted 7 hours of a studio budget just to appease somebody.
Just like, just so the artists can think the song is getting done. Why, was it some hip hop shit? Was it like a hip hop joint? Was it not, it was, good?
I remember it not being good. It was not good. And they were like, yeah, no, that song's never making an album. Thanks for coming down. And I was like, I would have played your,
you know,
game.
What that means?
Just,
you know,
let
that,
me know.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, the conversation they had was, we need a DJ here to get some scratches on this. Who can afford to give us 7 hours? and we don't give a fuck about their time.
No, it's not even that. It's like, I worked at the label.
Right. So we could just say,
just call Siphon here. Get Siphon here. Oh, did you see my, oh, nah, forget it.
Well, you can't tell us?
No, I got this. I got this. I don't want to go off track, but
we're done with the LL. We've talked about LL's.
I don't know how we got to LL from LL verses,
because
but,
I Shot You was on my mind, and that verse that was different. And then I was like, I don't know. And by the way, I do like Busta LL's chops. I want to be clear. I think he's one of the, I do think LL's an absolute icon. And I think early LL is, I mean, so incredibly important. And LL's always had joints. I fuck with LL. But he, the thing about LL is he walks this line of, he can be so fire and he can also get very cartoony and easy to make fun of in certain ways.
Yeah.
But that's what you get when you're good looking.
With LL, with like every other album. Like, he makes an album, it's fire. Next album, people hate on it. So he must get so angry. So he makes the next album fire. And then he gets lazy again. And then the next album, people hate on it. And then the next album, he like bounces around.
LL can always hit you with something like this all of a sudden. DJ Scratch. All right. What were you about to say?
Oh, this comedian, Nathan McIntosh, good friend of mine.
Good friend. Good friend.
He's the guy I was telling you about that always, like, he loves Pusha T and he hates Drake. And he always, like, talks to me about hip hop, but he's like a lyrics, bars kind of guy.
Okay.
He comes to me one day at the Comedy Cell. He goes, oh, I was watching this interview by David Banner. And in the middle of it, he shouts you out. And he sent me this video. I had to watch the whole fucking, I had to find it. It was like an hour and a half long. But David Banner gave me this dope ass shout out, bro.
Why?
And it's like, he was telling the story of when he moved to New York back in the early days and he was signed to Penalty Records. And he was like, Nori was the running the rap game at the time. We were on the same label. And Nori was one of the only guys that supported Southern hip hop. You know what I mean? He really fucked with the rappers. Oh, it's Cypher Sounds too. Cypher Sounds really supported. And I was like, oh shit, like a random, like a random bouquet of flowers. I got my flowers like randomly in that thing. Like,
there you go.
Someone tagged me. No, I mean, it's a small thing, but like, I hit him, man. And I was like, hey, thanks for the shout out, bro, because these motherfuckers got amnesia. And he started breaking down all this. You know, David Banner's a smart guy.
I mean,
man.
Very smart. I mean, like,
he starts breaking down like, man, it's the way we got into this game and this generation, and nobody wants to bring other people with them. He started breaking it down. He's like, yo, thank you for calling me to say thank you, because that also means a lot. But it was a dope little shout out, man.
When did this whole experience with David Banner happen? Just this week?
Yeah, like 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
We should get him on the show.
We should. We absolutely should. I'm going to hit him.
He's a super smart, interesting guy. He can talk about anything with us.
Very interesting. So go ahead with Nicki Minaj. What happened with this chick? Anti-vax?
The thing is, it wasn't anti-vax so much as it was, she started out by just posting, yo, my cousin in Trinidad said his friend.
Oh, it was in Trinidad. I was wondering why the leader of Trinidad was commenting on this.
That's exactly why. My, oh my, my, what? My cousin said his friend,
which is already bad.
Which is already bad. My cousin,
which is always how all hood lies start.
And my cousin's friend said that he got the vaccine and then he got swollen testicles. And now his wife canceled the marriage, the wedding. His fiance canceled the wedding because he's impotent. I said, so naturally, people go, what the fuck kind of bullshit ass story is this? And then afterwards, you know, she cleans it up. She tried to clean it up with like, I'm not, you know, you should make whatever choice you want to make. And you should, I'm not saying, you know, like she didn't come out and straight up say like, absolutely don't get the vaccine.
Right.
But what she did, obviously, was use a ridiculous story as to, you know, maybe why you should be hesitant.
And what was, where did this tweet come from? It just came out of nowhere. Was it a string of tweets? Like,
no, it was the beginning of a series of tweets, because originating from, she wasn't going to the Met Gala because they required vaccine.
Got it. That right. I did hear something with the Met Gala. That's
so
right.
don't forget that part, because it's obviously relevant to the story.
Right.
So that's what set it off. And then what followed afterwards was a lot of people coming for her and being like, yo, this is fucking ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. Most notably that night, Joanne Reed on MSNBC, a very credible, smart, you know, clearly left-leaning, she's on MSNBC, black female journalist, jumping on TV and being like, I'm a fan of Nicki Minaj, but you got to do better. This is not it, basically, right? Nicki then jumps out and calls her an Uncle Tom. You know, just like the...
So, you're telling me a story which is basic Nicki behavior. I'm not hearing anything new.
Yo, by the way, but Saif, honestly, what you're saying right there, that's the whole thing. That's the thing. There's nothing new. It is
something. Somebody said something about Nicki and she lashed out with the first initial like hood response. Are you Uncle Tom?
It's the most basic bullshit. Yeah. Like, instead of being like, oh, I see what you're saying, but no, let me go on her show. Let me go on her show and clarify. No, no, no. It's not possible that you spreading the story of your quote cousin's friend it was just a bad idea. Instead, now you have all these people coming out. Oh, I'm not mad at Nicki. You know, she wasn't trying to. Fam, stop making. Listen, when you have a gazillion followers and you decide to make a statement about something as serious as this, and it's based on, quote, my cousin's friend's swollen testicles, sounds like something that would literally be. It's like from an episode of Curved on our morning show. Like, it's not even a real. It sounds so clearly fake, right? And then you get so defensive that you start saying horrible things about credible people. Yo, this is the same thing as 10 years ago. It's all the same.
I hate. This is going to. Here we go, guys. Here we go. Old one ep. One ep is old.
Go ahead.
I hate that I hate Nicki. Like, I don't like having hate in my heart towards anybody. And I know that she has a lot of issues, that she might have some insecurity issues, some mental health issues. Like, and mental health is a loose term that people throw around lately. Yeah, but just like, you know, anything to do with the mind is mental health. Like, but she like has like some insecurity issues or whatever it is. I don't know her that much to dig into it, but I want to forgive her, but I have this thing in my body towards her. I don't like her. And I don't like not being like that, because there's a reason why I try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. There's a reason why people act the way they do.
No, here, but, here, but here's what it is. I can sum it up for you what it is. Because I do believe that you are a kind, empathetic person and you don't want to have negative feelings towards her. And it definitely does come from insecurity. I 1,000%, I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. The thing that I think bothers you, maybe, is what you just said. It's the exact same thing. Like, when are you going to work on these things?
Right.
Like, you're now, you
have,
she's,
you have all the opportunity. And you know, a lot of problems with mental health is the cost.
You're now,
the cost.
Right, right. Of course. You're 40. You're a parent. You have an incredible platform and all these people who follow you. And rather than be like, yo, I got some shit. I gotta work on some of this shit.
Let me work on this.
You believe the sycophant lunatics who you would never want to spend 5 minutes with in real life because they're psychos. You believe people who are sycophants, who believe they support every word you say, rather than be like, all right, there are people who are obsessed with me because I'm a great rapper and my brand is fire. Rather than just write them off as being like, cool, I'm happy to have them, but they also can't determine my self-worth.
Right.
I need to work more on myself. You just believe what they say. And anytime she gets challenged by anyone else, it's go fuck yourself. Yeah. I'm going to say the yo, Saif, after that.
Have a talk. Can we have a talk?
After that, you know, the Trini government comes out. They're like, it's not true. Okay. She's
Hold on. The Trini government comes out and says, what's not true?
They researched the story. They researched the story. They said there's no evidence that that story exists.
Why? What comes across your desk as the Prime Minister of Trinidad or whatever the leader of Trinidad is called? And go, sir, put that down. Put the state of affairs of our islands down.
Well, how about this?
We need to deal with this.
Well, the reason it's totally reasonable is the question about it made it to Biden. It made it to Boris Johnson. They all got asked about this.
What?
So then there's a secondary level of what is wrong with the world.
Oh, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Why are you asking the president?
Yo, why? It's one thing for me on the radio to talk about this.
Hip-hop radio
station. Yo, Nicki Minaj said some crazy-ish. We're taking
that's
this.
That's the story.
That's it. We're taking this to the leaders of superpowers and other nations alike. Lovely, loving, beautiful nations. That sounded very Trump-like. But no, whether it's Trinidad or England or the United States, the idea that it made it. Now, I guess with Trinidad, it makes more sense. It's a smaller country and she's a huge quote-unquote representative. So yeah. I get why it would make more of an impact. But no, it shows how fucked up we are in general that that's even a conversation anyone's having. Is psychotic.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
but also, I hate the news reporters that go, I'm going to ask the president of the United States about this. This has to be asked.
I know, because you're just trying to get clicks too, obviously.
So the Trinidadian government researched, did they find Nicki Minaj's cousin?
So how about this? Glad you asked that, Saif. It goes further. After some journalists from what's the British, The Guardian, I think, they were DMing some people in Nicki Minaj's family to try to find the cousin and get a quote. Nicki then goes on Instagram, screenshots it, writes the people's name, and says, bitch, your days are fucking numbered, you dirty hoe.
Wait, who? Whose days are numbered?
The reporter who's trying to get a quote from The Guardian. They're trying to find out if there is, in fact, the story.
What'd she say?
And I quote, the woman's name was Charlene something. Charlene something. Bitch, your days are fucking numbered, you dirty hoe.
Wow. Because a reporter was doing their job.
Nicki did that on her IG story where I think she has 100 million followers. So what do you think happened next?
That woman got dragged.
And worse, harassed, called, threatened, had to get security from the Guardian.
Wow.
Yo.
You didn't need security. Nobody's coming for you.
Yeah, you're good. But, yo, how could you still be like, yo, it's no big deal. I can say, bitch, your fucking days are numbered with 100 million followers.
Your days are numbered. What the fuck? That might, that's a threat.
That's a threat. I, if I am suing 1,000%, there's not even a second of me. There's not even, yo, the amount of lawyers that I'm talking to who would do take the case just to get the notoriety of the case.
Publicity, yeah.
I'm talking to everyone. Yo, a person.
A lawyer for free.
For free, 100%. So I probably didn't do anything today to change your opinion. I just sat there. I commented on it lightly on the radio. And my feeling is with everybody who I've seen sides of them, I'm just like, just let people will see what's out there. And I always hope that people will change and not be the version that you thought that they could be. But I watched this play out and I'm like,
this and the horrible, I don't know. I'm bigging myself up too much. But the thing is, I could help her. I could really help her. And I would, how do I get in there? DM her cousin for me. See if I can help her out.
Yo, Saif, listen to me. Your days are fucking numbered, you dirty hoe. All right, we love y'all. Have a great week.
Wait.
No, I got to go.
I got to
go.
You got to go. I got to say rest in peace to Norm Macdonald, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know.
Bro, I know some people probably don't even know who he is. This guy was one of the most phenomenal comedians, like this, a brilliant mind. Look up, like just take some time for me. Do me a favor, man. I don't know. It's too late. He died. But look up all his late night clips. Anytime he was on Letterman or Conan, this guy was a fucking genius in the true sense of the word, man. His comedy was like no other. He has a special on Comedy Central that was one of my favorites ever. He's phenomenal, man. And this one hurt bad. And rest in peace to Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, I watched the, I had never heard the moth joke before. Have you watched the moth one?
Seen all of them, man.
The moth is so funny, bro. He was so good on late night. I mean, just so daring. Like, I just respect a comedian who's willing to go out there and have it be as uncomfortable as humanly possible.
Because I got no problem with gay people, but pride? Is pride the thing you want? Because this, I can imagine some guys at the factory. Hey, McCluskey, what's up with your son? Oh, he just got out of Harvard. He's a doctor. Oh, I'm so proud. Hey, buddy, what's up with your son? He just graduated medical school. He's a doctor. Oh, I love him. Hey, what about your son? Oh, he sucks dick in a parade. I'm so proud.
Yo.
I'm so proud.
He was willing to say things that you're just like, oh. But you have to listen. You have to think through the whole thing. He even did it about cancer, which he eventually died of. His whole thing about cancer and like, why do they make it sound like he lost his battle? Makes you a loser.
I hate what they say about cancer. He lost his battle. He lost the battle. It makes it seem like, oh, this guy was a loser. He loses. He goes, and then he goes, when you die, the cancer also dies. So it's at least a draw.
He also was. Obviously hilarious in Billy Madison, Dirty Work, etc. But maybe my favorite anchor too on SNL. His stuff that he did with OJ was just incredible. All right, well, thanks for depressing us on the way out, Saif. But we love you.
That's what I do.
I'm gonna join the Discord this week. Let's Discord. Let's see what people are talking
about. Tell me when. I'm on there.
Oh, let's go check out the Discord on Tuesday. We appreciate you guys. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.